Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Okay, we good? We got an outline. Let's begin with prayer, okay? Lord, we thank you for your love toward us in your Son Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word that you so understandingly and generously gave it to us. And Lord, that I just pray that we appreciate it in such a way that brings glory and honor to you, and that you would guide us in understanding your word this evening. We are reminded that your Son says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we believe he always is out there in front of us, preparing a place for us. And we just need to find it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we are in Genesis, and we are in the Joseph account. And I think we started, I think we did our first, the 1 through 4, I think the love of the Father, I think we did last Wednesday night. Did we do a good job with that? Hey, wait, when I say good job, did we get the point across? He's loved by, what makes you think he's loved by the Father? What evidence do you have that he is loved by the Father? The coat of many colors. We didn't. I thought we did. No? No, okay, yeah, yeah. I remember talking later with Kim about the play that was on Broadway, Technicolor, yeah, and I understand, and I actually like it when they try to copy the Bible in some form, do that. There was one, it was probably the sermon was preached that the Lord has bared his holy arm, and one preacher got a hold of that and he says, God's rolled up his sleeve to deliver the knockout punch. I know. I'm in on that. Then somebody else, then there was this play on Broadway, is Your Arms Are Too Short to Box with God. I love that. Okay. But we're not sure what made this. We call it a coat, but it's probably an outer tunic. We're not sure what made this unique. We're not sure it's in the color. That's what I want to say, okay? But because the text is not all that clear. It's almost like this one has sleeves. It's multi-something. And like this one has sleeves, so it'd be multi-tailoring to what they're used to. Okay, well, we're not sure. All we know is you could see him coming. And you knew something was up when he came in there. And what was up is his father loves him deeply. Okay? And if there's anything we need to know is our father loves us deeply. Yeah, we need to know it. For some reason, Joan and I, well, we knew we needed a church, okay, but for some reason, Joan wasn't with me when I came here the first time. And I was right maybe the second or the last row over there on this end of that row there. I really wasn't thinking about that, okay? And I knew standing there I could feel, viscerally feel, the love of God. And I want to give you guys credit for developing that atmosphere in here. But the unique thing about it was, Joan came with me to the next Sunday, and she had to, and I didn't tell her this. I didn't say anything like this, okay? Because we were serious. We wanted to find a church that would suit us both. Okay. And she had the very same experience of just coming in here for the worship service as I did. And all I'm saying is working here. And that's one of the things that we need desperately, is to know that the Father loves us deeply. There are other things we need, and He will make sure that we get that. But that's okay. Now, that's verses 1 through 4. That's point A, the Father's love. Then we want to go to the dreams. Okay, so let's, we'll go continue there. Now we want to deal in dream life. We want to deal in dream life. How many of you record your dreams, or if you have it? Do you do that sometimes? Okay. Val, if you'll help him out with that, what you do is when he gets into his deep sleep, about an hour and a half into his sleep, wake him up. I say, if you don't remember your dreams, that's why you don't remember, because you dream. Oh, you dream. Yeah, you dream. You just, you're not. Okay. Most people just don't pay much attention to dreams really anymore. Okay. But this is, if you're reading the Bible, a lot of times this is the way God speaks to people. Yeah. But let me go a little further on it. The quiet time is when you can hear this being able to come through, the message being able to come through, okay? Now, so when we look at this, this is a world they're fairly familiar with. We're not, okay? They're familiar with the dream world, okay? Because most of them are what we call illiterate. They have very few things that... Sorry about that, Kim. I never even thought about seeing it to get that to you. They have very few ways to... In other words, they can't read God's Word. What a blessing we have. When I prayed that prayer earlier, what a blessing it is to have the Bible and to be able to read. And I just want to tell you, in all of human history, you hold the very best reliable text in your hand today. Oh, yes, today. There were fragments here and there, and now they're here. Oh, I just want to say, okay, so let's pay attention to dreams, okay? Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. As one guy says, these people hate so much only as family can hate. You can't hate somebody this much unless you're their family, And we might be able to accuse Joseph of being naive. But I think, by the way, I think that's all you could accuse him of here. Okay? All right. Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Does everybody know what a sheaf of grain is? A bundle. Whatever the size, and I assume the head size, would take, you bundle that and you tie it with itself. And said, okay. And Joseph dreamed about that. Now, just what does this sound like to you right off the bat? What does it sound like to you? My sheaf rose up and yours bowed down. That's their normal, response is to hate him for this, okay? But he is saying, some form I'm going to be superior to you. Okay? All right? And now, what surprised me most about the text, I don't usually see them as farmers. I see them as, nomads and herders, shepherds. Okay. So, but this must be common. This must be common for them to know. So it's common language. So if God wants to speak to you in a dream, he'll use language that you can understand. Okay? He will not use the normal rational side. He's using the other side, what we call the spirit world or spiritual. Okay, go to the next one. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? What are they? They understand. He doesn't have to explain to them. They understand. This is a world they're used to dealing with. So they understand. Will you actually rule over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he said. We hate that you have dreams, and we hate you worse because you tell us about it. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Then he had another dream. Are you getting the message? If you're getting the message, I thought we cleared that up a while ago with everybody dreams, okay? He is a dreamer. Okay? He's a dream. He had one dream, now he's got another. We should learn from that, okay? He's a dreamer. Do we have any dreamers in here? Oh, I love that. Come on. Get on. Come on. If you don't, do more of it. Okay. Now, by the way, daydreams also count. Daydreams also count. Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you. Then he had another dream and he told his brothers, listen, he said, I had another dream. And this time, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. Now, this is dream language. But listen to them. They understood it perfectly. He did not have to explain his dream. Go ahead, Mike. I keep forgetting Benjamin because he was mentioned in that genealogy that we had earlier, but he wasn't born yet. So the writer, okay. But yeah, the writer wanted to get that 12 in there, is what I'm saying, yeah. So I do not know. That's a great question. That's a great question, yeah. But I think the stars are to represent the 12 tribes, or I shouldn't say it that way. I should say the 12 sons. Okay, that's the way I should say it at this point. Okay, because we don't have a tribe yet. We'll do that in the next chapter too. Okay, what about the moon and the sun? Why do we know that's mom and dad?
I read ahead.
Sorry. No, this is true. No, yeah. Now, wait a minute. That I get that. Okay, and you're right. Okay, because you'll. Yeah. That's the point I wanted to bring out, is because we do not understand dream language. They understood it clearly. They knew exactly that was mom and dad. How did they know that? Why did they know that? Anybody know? Moon is always feminine. Well, why is that? It cycles 28 days. Just to start, I'm just telling you, just to start with, the cycle's every 28 days. Okay? It is the lesser than the sun. Well, why is it you know the sun? Huh? It's constant. The sun is constant. And it is masculine. It will show up masculine in your dreams. Okay? And the moon will be feminine. Yes. Okay. Here's what I wanted to make sure that you get, okay? Across cultures, sun is masculine, moon is feminine, and will come up that way. Across cultures. This is not a cultural phenomenon. Okay? This is a human phenomenon that we even know such things as that. Okay? And there are people who say that is proof of the spirit world or the world in which God will be able to talk to you and that kind of thing. Okay? And I like that. I just want you to know that people can have dreams, and the dreams have symbols, and they were used to using and understanding those symbols. They just knew what they were. All right? Go ahead. No. Each one of the 11 stars represent one of the sons of Jacob. And since he is one of them there, he can't be one of them out there and here too. Okay? Yes, okay, and that will represent the 12 tribes later, okay? But it gets confusing, and we'll try to wade through this, okay? We'll try to wade through that. Okay, did we read all that? Okay, then he told his father, his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, he's being naive, that's all, sharing all this stuff there, and people aren't ready to hear this, and they hate him all for it. And Jacob may not like it either. Okay? Jacob may not like it. He may not want to bow down to it. What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come bow down to you before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. He's using a great deal of maturity to even be that way. By the way, you all know that they're going to bow down to him in the future. You all know that? Okay. Yeah, because they're going to do that. You have a dream, it will come true. And if you don't want the hassle, be careful who you share it with, because a lot of people are not going to appreciate you or your dream. And if that's okay with you, and if you think you need to do that, go ahead and do that, okay? You're not going to hurt anything. Except me, might hurt their feelings later. But that's all, okay? But I just want to remind you, your dreams will come true. All right? Okay. Are you learning anything about Joseph yet? What is he? Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, no, some of them's just onions and stuff before you went to bed. You'll sort that out. That's not going to be a problem to you. Yeah. And you know the weight of the dream when you wake up in the morning and you've had it. You know, I wrote a dream down. I know the start of this year that I had. Okay. And guess how many dreams I wrote down this year? One. You'll know the weight of it. Yeah. And no, you can't listen to every voice that comes through here, that marches through here. No, you don't want to listen to every voice. Okay. And you ought to be selective. Okay. Now, let's see. Did we finish out that way? Yes, we did. We finished out that way. Okay. Now the mission. The next one is we had the Father's love, the dreams. Now we get the mission. Does that word sound familiar with you, mission? Did you get that Sunday morning mission? Oh, you got it again. Yeah, that's right. You got it again. Our Zoom meeting, I did it again. Okay. My wife told me a couple of times, you just have a one-track mind. Well, it's so small, it can't have a lot of things going on in there at a time anyway, okay? So, obviously, I think this is very, very important, all right? And let's do it. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, as you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them. Very well, he replied. Have you heard that before? Jesse sent David. Same way. He is sent to see how his brothers are doing. Okay? And obviously, the main thing about that message is God sent his son to see how his brothers were doing in Jesus Christ. Okay? They did not. He came into his own, but his own received him not. All right? You've got to have the same thing here. You had the same thing with David. And this is a message you'll see time and time again. Okay? He is sent by the Father to check on the brothers. Okay, let's go to the next one. So he said to them, go see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me. Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. Then Joseph arrived at Shechem. A man found him wandering around the fields and asked him, what are you looking for? It sounds like he just wandered around. Don't know what to do. They're not here. What do you do now? And so man found him and said, what are you doing here? Okay. But they saw him in a distance. And did we skip one? Okay. All right. Okay, we'll go to the next one then. But they saw him in a distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. That story sounds familiar to you. The story of Jesus. Yeah. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him, throw him into one of these cisterns, and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. Now, they're going to try and interrupt his dreams. But you can't do that. Because your dreams will come true. All right? And no matter what people do around you, okay, they can't interrupt your dream. They think they can. They come to do you harm, but all they can do is bless you. That's all they can do. They can't do anything else. All right. Then Reuben heard this. He tried to rescue him from their hands. Let us not take his life, said, don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him, Reuben said. This is to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. Okay, so Reuben's actually looking pretty good here now. Yes, oh, I'm sorry, this is the oldest brother. Reuben's the oldest. So you got Reuben's looking pretty good here. It's probably pretty good that the cistern wasn't full of water. That's the first thing. And they have these cisterns all over the place. If they can dig them, they'll be all over the place. All right. So they're fairly common. But they're not really wells. Okay. They're a cistern. Dug in just the right spot so that when it does rain, water will run across it, fill the cistern, and go on. Yeah, that's the idea of a cistern. Yeah, so there's no water coming out of this. It's just a container to get it when the water is available, and you know where it's at. Now this is the water they drink. No telling what's in this water floating. By the time you get there, especially if the cistern's half full. Oh, okay. I just want to remind you, this is pretty rustic living, okay? Pretty rustic living. So then Joseph came to his brothers. They stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into a cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, myrrh, and was on their way down to Egypt. They do a big thing about this. If you follow the name Ishmaelites, it turns into Midians, I think. Is it Midians? Midianites. But that's really not a problem for the text, okay? It may sound like that, okay, because Ishmaelites could be Midianites as well. Do we know what Ishmaelites are? From son of Hagar and Abraham, okay? This is their descendants, okay? And so they're on a trading route, and here comes some traders, and so they do a little business with him. They think they can, so they'll sell him off. Judah said to his brothers, what will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let us sell him. Now, this doesn't sound like the lofty thinking that we would think would exist here, okay? So the choices are what? Sell him as a slave or kill him. This is the big choice that they're making there. He is our brother, our own flesh and blood. His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite, there they are. Merchants came by. His brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites. There they are both together there, okay? Who took him to Egypt. Now, the main aim of the text now is to explain how the Jews get to Egypt. That's the main issue of the text, okay? But we're going to learn a lot of other stuff as we learn that, okay? All right, so we got him where? And where's he headed? He's going to Egypt. How's he going there? Slave. He's going there as a slave. All right. Then Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there. He tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, the boy isn't there. Where can I turn now? Go to the next slide. Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, dipped the robe in the blood, took the ornate rode back to their father and said, we found this. Examine it and see whether it is your son's robe. Oh, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. Yeah, I did not think about that. Yeah, just, and it just shows the contempt and detachment and just want to get away from him. There's a lot of reasons for that other than the dreams that he's having too, okay? Because Joseph is the oldest of Rachel's, which is the woman that Jacob loved. Okay, loved deeply. Huh? Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Okay, and that's the lie. The lie is an animal killed him, but the truth of the matter is what? They sold him into slavery, and he's on his way to Egypt, and a future that just unimaginable, just unimaginable. And I mean that in a negative way, okay, because that's the only way they're thinking now, is in a negative way. And then, of course, you have Jacob's grief. And Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his sons many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. No, he said, "I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave." So his father wept for him. And this is expressing, again, which we established early on, is the intense love that he has for this boy. But he should love all his sons this way. Thank you. Okay, he should love all his sons this way. I mean, okay, yeah. But we got dysfunctional families. And that's what you have here. You have a really dysfunctional. Yes. Right. And it becomes an interesting psychological approach as to why a person would do that. Yes. I would love to delve into that maybe sometime with you, but why do we need to punish ourselves? Is a great question to ask once in a while, especially when you see it. I don't know if you've heard of the book, The Road Less Traveled, Scott Peck. He actually followed up a book called The People of the Lie. And now it's uglier than Road Less Traveled. But that's what it delves into, and time and time again shows that people shoot themselves in the foot time and time again, and you got to ask why. Why is that? And he really worked it and did, never mind. All right. That's enough talking about it. Yeah. Just, Joan didn't tell me to shut up either. Oh, once in a while she'll tell me. That's wind it up. Get on with it. She did that Sunday morning. You know what I do? I wind it up, get on with it. Okay. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, and there's big talk about what this word official means, and the originally this word meant eunuch. And you all know what a eunuch is. Go like this or like this. Okay. Originally, but it didn't come to mean just official in the court and that kind of thing. Okay, so somehow, yeah, he was related. We know right away somehow he's related to the court and has a higher office. So and that higher office is what? Captain of the guard. But originally that so you just can't nail it down with the word, okay? At that time, That's it. Now we're going to shift to chapter 38, okay, we're gonna leave the Joseph story now. I thought about maybe doing like chapter 38 and then starting with 37. But I thought, no, probably I'll not do that. So we'll just leave it in order that we find it, okay? But you'll ask the question, why is this chapter plopped down here? Right at the beginning of the Joseph story. And the answer to that is, we don't know. But if you were a scribe and you were putting this together and you had this story, you have to say to yourself, what in the world am I going to do with this? Where do I put this? Because we have this wonderful story. But where do we put it? So here's where they put it. Okay, so this is where we have it. And you will be pressed, and again, try to leave your 21st century thoughts. Thank you. You know where I'm going with it. And try to think what was their condition, personal condition, especially Tamar. Okay? Now, I love Tamar. And how I first met Tamar is I'm reading the genealogy of Jesus in, if you want to look it up, the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew. And so I'm reading that, and all of a sudden, now I'm not counting Mary. Okay, that's a different thing altogether. There are four women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. All the rest are men. And so when something like that, if I'm reading in the Bible and come across that, my ears perk up and say, well, wow, what's this? Because this is you. It's like reading Judges and running across Deborah. What's that? And then you have JL. Remember, we just reading that? Did you guys read? Jonah and I had marathon read today trying to catch up on our Bible reading. But we did it. We did it. But I'm reminded of, don't you love Deborah? Oh, I just love her. Whoa, what a woman. Yeah. Little wimpy guy, Baruch or whatever his name is, come. I'll go if you go. If you lead, I'll go. Wow. Don't you love her? Huh? Yeah, right on. Okay. So that made me look. Then next, I'm thinking, wait a minute. Ruth, Rahab, then I find out about Tamar. They're all Gentiles. This is a family tree that has branches. It is, isn't it? It is so. It just gets better and better and better. And then, especially when you read, they got a suspicious past. It gives us all a little hope. Huh? Come on. All right. So what would be about this woman that would give her honorable mention in the genealogy of Jesus Christ? Now, you'll have to come to your own conclusion for that. But to me, she just stands out as being just courageous and intelligent. Okay? She just shines, okay? But you'll see. You'll see. All right. At that time, Judah left his brothers and went down to stay with a man of Adullamah, Hira. Don't call me, please. There, Judah met the daughter of a Canaanite man named Shelah. He married her, and made love to her. She became pregnant, gave birth to a son who was named Ur. She conceived again, gave birth to a son, named him Onan. She gave birth to still another son and named him Shelah. It was at Kitzbah that she gave birth to him. Judah got a wife for Ur, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. There she is. And what is she? Looks like she's Canaanite. Okay? So, now we got Judah's firstborn now has a wife, and everybody lives happily ever after. Not so much. All right. But Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death. Now, we don't know what this guy did, but obviously it must have been not cool. Okay. Now, that's where Tamar is. And by the way, what is her condition now? Do what? She's a widow? What? No children. Yeah, I think I might have mentioned before that one of the saddest lines in the Bible is when Jesus goes to the town of Nain and they're carrying out the corpse of a young man dead, and the mother was behind, and it says, and she was a widow. And so that means all her hope is gone. Every bit of hope for a future is gone. Okay? For her now, what happens to her? She is not considered a virgin, which was quite a commodity. I just want to say that was a commodity. She doesn't have that now. And she's widowed. What does she do in the clan now? That's the question. Tradition has it what? Well, we'll look. Then Judah said, Onan, sleep with your brother's wife and fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law to raise up offspring for her. That is a way for her to have a chance, yes, of having a meaningful life and position in the clan. Not the best of all worlds, but it is a world. You get that? All right. Okay. But Onan knew that the child would not be his, so whenever he slept with his brother's wife, he spilled his semen on the ground to keep from providing offspring for his brother. A no-no. What is he refusing Tamar? Children? Yeah. And her reasonable, respectable position in the clan. Okay? I want you to know how important it is to have children and for females to bear children. Okay? It gives them respectability with inside the clan. So what's this guy doing to her? He's refusing to feel any responsibility to his brother, and he's refusing, by doing that, he's refusing to give her a way out. Can you see that? Okay. So this is a no-no. You're reading ahead. Well, you could call it that. You could call it that. But they understood clearly what it took to procreate. They understood. I mean, there was no guessing about that. They understood clearly what that was. Yeah, but he refused her. I'm sorry. And he didn't even complete that. Yeah, that it would be possible for her to have offspring. Yes. That's what it looks like. I'm sure he was married because she wouldn't be a virgin to begin with. Again, which was a commodity. He would have had a virgin. But he still had a responsibility to Tamar. He had a responsibility in the clan. And he had a responsibility to his brother. And he's evading that. Okay? All right. Judah then said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, "Live as a widow in your father's household until my son Shelah grows up," for he thought he may die too, just like his brothers. So Tamar went and lived with her father's household. Did I? What he did was wicked. Oh yeah, okay. I thought we read that, but so the Lord put him to death also. I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. So you, and now you can kind of understand Judah here as well, because he's what? He's lost two sons to this woman already. And I'm saying that tongue in cheek. I hope you hear that. Saying that tongue in cheek. You can only be so stupid and live. No, it's true. You can only be so stupid and live. As my great philosopher John Wayne would say, life is tough. And it, when you're stupid, it's even tougher. But you can kind of understand him. They think, you know, like she's bad luck. She's had two husbands, and what happened to them? Well, they're both dead. Oh my, yeah. But where is Tamar now? She is on hold. I want you to see that she is on hold, and now Judah is going to deny her. I want you to see that, okay, men. Are denying this woman her rights in the clan. All right, we'll go to the next one. After a long time, Judah's wife, daughter of Shelah, died. Then Judah had recovered from his grief. He went up to Timnah to the men who were shearing sheep, and his friend Haran Abdulamite went with him. Okay, that's the bunch. This is guy's time out. That's what this is. I mean, this is a big party, and they enjoy themselves, and they get together for the shearing and that kind of thing. It's a really big time out, all right? But where's Tamar? She's on hold. She is set aside, and there is no hope for her on the horizon, okay? Because Judah is not keeping his word, and he's not performing his function as head of the clan. Okay? All right. Then Tamar was told, your father-in-law is on his way to Timnah to shear sheep. She took off her widow's clothes and covered herself with a veil and disguised herself, and then sat down at the entrance of Enam, which is on the road to Timnah. For she saw that, thought Shelah had grown up. She had not been given to him as a wife. She knows where she's at. She's on hold. Okay? And who's the culprit? Yeah, let's go. Judah. He is the culprit. One of the reasons why this is such an important story is what particular significance does the tribe of Judah have? It's where the king comes from. Mm-hmm. It's where the king comes from the tribe of Judah. Then Judah saw her. He thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face, not realizing that it was his daughter-in-law. He went over to her by the roadside and says, come now, let me sleep with you. And what will you give me to sleep with you? Well, now we're into bargaining here. We're in the bargaining. We're gonna have to come to an agreement, okay? I'll send a young goat from the flock, he said. Will you give me something as a pledge until you send it? Okay, so what's the payment? A young goat. Okay. That's why I say try to leave your 21st century behind and understand that they're living in a life that you have really no understanding of. Okay? But I do want you to understand how this woman has been mistreated. I want you to get that. And it's not like somebody come out and slapped her and beat her up to mistreat her. No. But yeah, just nothing. I mean, she was at the point of nothing. In other words, man didn't do anything to her. Well, if a man doesn't do anything to a woman, what happens to her? She can't help herself. There's no children, no nothing. Okay, all right, I know. All right, can you tell I love her? I do. Yeah. Okay, said young goat, what pledge will you give me? Now, you know what a pledge is? Earnest money. We get one little earnest money. Okay, you seal. I'm sorry? Yeah. And the pledge is your seal and its cord. It's a seal around his neck. This is what he would seal documents, prove who he is, the seal cord, and staff in your hand. And this probably would be engraved and would have the genealogy or at least the important stories on it. Okay? And slept with her, and she became pregnant by him. God has a way of making things happen. and now she'll have a respectable place. It's even more than that. More than that. She's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Think about it. Even like Ruth, a Moabite. And what does she do? She worms her way into the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Oh, I just salute people like that. Eh? Yes. Yes. Because they have the courage to do what's necessary to make it happen. And I love them. They get, oh yes, they have the courage to do what's necessary to make it happen. Huh? All right. And I want you to know how much courage this takes. Okay, for her to. After she left, she took off her veil, put on her widow's clothes again. Meanwhile, Judah sent the young goat by a friend, Abdulmite, or whatever, in order to get his pledge back from the woman. But he did not find her. Well, no, she's over there in the tent over there, in her father's tent over there. She's not out there anymore. Asked the man who lived there. There is a shrine of prostitute who was beside the road at Enam. There hasn't been any shrine prostitute here, they said. Well, they can't find her. Right? They can't find her. She left. And you understand what a shrine prostitute is? It's a priestess to a fertility god, and you go in and you rent the priestess for the evening. Yeah, that's what. Okay. After he went back to Judah and said, I didn't find her. Besides, the men who lived there said there hasn't been any shrine prostitute here. Well, far as Judah's concerned, he's fulfilled his obligation to do that. All right. And Judah said, let her keep what she has, or we will become a laughingstock. After all, I did send her young goat, but you didn't find her. So he feels like he has fulfilled his obligation. And unbeknownst to him, he has fulfilled his obligation. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Okay. And so now we've had Tamar's misfortune. We've had Tamar's deception. And then now we have Tamar's vindication. About 3 months later, Judah was told, your daughter-in-law Tamar is guilty of prostitution and has, as a result, she is now pregnant. You just can't hide this forever. You know, it becomes obvious after a while. There's no way to hide this. bring her out here and have her burned to death. Boy. I just want to see, even on his own standards, he's awful. Here, he is not a good representative for the head of a clan, but he's the head of the clan. All right. Okay, bring out the burner. As she was being brought out, she sent a message to her father-in-law. I am pregnant by the man who owns these, she said. And she added, see if you recognize whose seal and cord and staff these are. I was going to say something like that. Be sure your sin will find you out. So just kind of get used to that and oh, never mind. All right. Okay, that's what we do. All right. Okay. I don't want you to bring your 21st century stuff into this. I told you at the beginning, okay? There is nothing there for you to get, but there is if you understand this woman, her courage and her tenacity to do. Yes. Boy, that's a good one. I'm going to use that next time. Make the system work for you. Oh, that was good. All right. We got to go. We're just a little bit over. Yeah. Let's go on to the next slide. Then I think we did that. Yeah. Next slide. Judah recognized them, said, she is more righteous than I, since I wouldn't give her to my son Shelah. He understands now. He understands what he did was wrong. Okay. And by the way, this is to his credit. This is all to his credit now, okay? And he did not sleep with her again. When the time came for her to give birth, there were what? 10 boys in her womb. God will give you a double portion. God will give you a double portion. And that's what she gets. She was giving birth to Paratan. The midwife took scarlet thread, tied it on her wrist, and said this one came out first. But when threw back his hand, the other brother came out. Boy, it sounds like Jacob and Esau to me. You get that too? Wrestling, yeah. So this is how you have broken out. And he was named Perez, and his brother, who had the scarlet thread wrapped about his wrist, came out. And his name is Zerah. Amen. So she doesn't have a baby. She has twins, boys. And I'm telling you guys, when it comes time to walk down there between the tents and stuff, and her with her tag-alongs there, she's looking pretty good. She's looking pretty good. Yes. Yeah. Okay, we'll quit there. We run over about 5 minutes, but we had to finish Tamar. I hope you love her like I do. And if you like that, you might want to look up Ruth and read about Ruth, Rahab, and the fourth one is Bathsheba. And the writer, Matthew, will not even mention her name. The one that was Uriah's wife. You gotta love this stuff. You gotta love it. Okay, let's pray together. Okay, Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that we can get this glimpse of past and how you made your son possible on earth. And we want to thank you for that. Lord, help us to live up to being our very best, even under difficult circumstances. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.